Yeah, the previous shloka that we discussed was Nepali Mauli Vrajarat Nakanti Sarit Viraja Jashakanya Kambyam Nipadvadabhyam Nataloka Pantehe Namo Namashri Guru Padukabhyam. Yeah, so the author compares the feet of the Guru with two young fish in the lake, in the ocean or in a river. In a river, and he says that many kings bow down to the Guru's feet, or the Guru Paduka here to be specific. So many kings bow down to the Guru's feet, and so their crown, which has many jewels in it, that kind of surrounds or illumines the Guru's feet. So the Guru Paduka is that. Guru Paduka is compared with two young fish in the river, which has the shining of the jewel of the crowns of kings who surrender or who bow down to the Paduka as well as the Pada of the Guru. So it's such a beautiful kind of analogy that we can consider, like, if there is a river, that river which is shining with jewels, and among that river the Guru's Paduka is two young fish. This also says that, like, whoever be it, whatever level, whatever state a person is, still he has to surrender to the Guru's Padas. So the Guru is more greater, more valuable than the crown of kings. Crown denotes, we can take mainly two interpretations of the crown. The crown of the king, the kings along with the crown surrender to the Guru's feet. So the crown indicates the entire kingdom. That means it shows that though the king is the ruler of the kingdom, still he is of no value. He is of not much importance than the Guru's feet. The Guru's feet is much more important. It has more importance than the entire kingdom denoted by the crown of the king. It also denotes that the ego of the kings, the ego of a person, which is denoted by the head as well as the crown in the head, that is surrendered. So many people, lot of people surrender their ego to the Guru's Padas. Such is the greatness of the Guru Padas. And though the Guru Padas is simple, without any jewels, still it has more power, it has more value than the jewel in the crown of the kings. That means the value of, we value jewels, we place the value of jewels as very high, but the Guru's Padas are of more value than even jewels, because jewels can only give us material benefit, material pleasure, whereas the Guru's Padukas can give us the highest benefit of moksha. And the Guru Padukas, like, upon which has the Guru's Padas, to which, like, various kings offer themselves, the Guru Padukas, if a person prostrates to the Guru Paduka, such a person is granted kingship. So kingship can mean, like, normal lordship or the benefits in the world, worldly benefits. Kings always have all the material benefits. So it can mean material benefits as well as it can mean kingship of one's own mind, control of one's own mind, as we discussed in previous shlokas. Such is the greatness of the Guru Paduka. I offer my prostration to such a Guru Paduka, which is so sacred, so great, of more value than jewels as well as crowns of various kings. The next sloka is Papandakararka Paramparabhyam Tapatraya Hindra Kageshwarabhyam Jagdhyabhisamshoshana Badavabhyam Namo Namashri Guru Padukabhyam. Here is like this is also one of the very beautiful like analogy that the author gives, as well as it also gives speaks about the Bhadavagni, which is very rare. It is like something which even we wouldn't know. Normal people wouldn't know about it. I have read only about such a fire in Balakrishna Nair's Bhagavatam. So Namo Namashri Guru Paduka Abhyam. I offer my prostration to the Guru's Paduka, which has so and so qualities. First is Papa Andhakara Arka Parampara Abhyam. It is like Arka Parampara. Arka Parampara, Arka means Suryan, Sun. Parampara means like set of sun, group of sun, multitude of sun. So the Guru Padukas are like multiple sun, a group of sun, Papa Andhakara, for the Andhakaram of Papam, the darkness of sins. So the darkness of sin is dispelled by the group of sun, which is the Guru Paduka. So the Guru Paduka is like a group of sun which removes the Papa Andhakaram, which removes this darkness of sins. So what are sins? What are papam? Generally we consider papam as things done against one's own dharma, swadharmam. So a person is supposed to do certain things, he is not supposed to do certain things. So karma can be split into two, one which has to be done and one which has to be not done. So karma which has to be done is again classified as two, which are called Nitya and Naimittika karma. Nitya karma are those like regular activities that a person has to do. Naimittika karma are those like during special occasions, like when a person marries or when a person has a child and all those things. And the karmas that are not to be done are called pratishiddha karma, karmas which are not to be done. So non-doing of that's the basic, like if a person doesn't do nitya naimittika karma or karmas that have to be done like sandhya vandanam, agnihotram and etc., then he incurs sin. Similarly, if a person does pratishiddha karma, then also he gets sin. Pratishiddha karmas are not that many, but the basic pratishiddha karmas are like drinking, alcohol, adultery, and those are the very basic pratishiddha karma. Though it has its own limitations, like if you read any smriti, for example, Manusmriti explains in depth as to what is pratishiddha karma. Even like alcohol consumption or adultery, they have many parts or many aspects to it. Like we see in movies, it's not quite different from movies. Like Manu, if you read Manusmriti, like it's vast, like we see in movies. Like a person flirting with other person's wife, a wife flirting with other person's husband or another person other than her husband. All such scenarios are there, even explained in Manusmriti. Like it can be a pratishuddha karma, it need not be as well. It depends on the scenario. But if pratishiddha karma, if a person does pratishiddha karma, then he gets sin. As well as he gets sin if a person doesn't do nitya naimittika karma. But the sin here is not such sin. Such sins have to do with karma. So karma, only as long as a person is the karta, or as long as a person is the doer, then karma affects him. But the moment a person offers his karma, offers all his actions to Ishvara, like Ramana Maharshi says, like Ishvara Arpitam Naichaya Kritam. So when a person does such a karma, he ceases to be the karta. Then there is no sin for him. If I am the karta, if I am the doer, then I'll enjoy. Then I become the bhokta. Like if I do something, if I learn the scriptures, you will not get realized because I am the karta of learning, I will become the bhokta of realization. So like when I cease to be the karta, then I cease to be the bhokta as well. So when I cease to be the karta of nityanaimittika karma or akarta of prashiddha karma, then I cease to be the bhokta of the papam or the punyam out of it. So those are not papam for a person who is in the spiritual path, who is really in the spiritual path offering all actions to Ishvara. But the main papa, the main papa that causes a person to suffer in this samsara sagaram is the papam of ignorance. Ajnanam we can call. Ajnanam is nothing but when a person doesn't know his nature of Atman, when a person doesn't know that I am Brahman, I am Paramatma, when he forgets that, then a series of papams start. Like the first papam starts by a person not knowing himself, then the second papam starts by forgetting Ishvara, forgetting himself. That is the first papam then the second papam becomes that he superimposes the body as I. So he thinks, I am the body. That is the second papam. I am the body, I am the mind, I am the intellect. Those are papams. Those papams make him do actions. That's where like the nityanaimittika karma and all those actions come in there. Then starts the rule of action. And the nityanaimittika pratishiddha karma rule is only valid at the empirical level. That is valid only for the body, mind, intellect plane and not for the self or the ego or the real I plane. So the real I still, even when I do nityanaimittika karma and incur some punyam, still it is a papam really because I am not the karta. I am the sakshi atman, still I consider myself as the karta. That itself is a sin. So that is the real sin, is not considering oneself as the atman. That is ajnanam. Ajnanam has two facets. One is, first is avaranam, or like veiling of one's own nature. That is, means in Chinmaya's words, it is non-apprehension. Not knowing one's nature is avaranam. Vikshepam is when you don't know something, you superimpose something else into it. Like when a person sees rope on the road, he doesn't know the rope. That means the rope is veiled. That is avaranam. When avaranam happens, then vikshepam happens in the form of snake. This is snake. Snake is superimposed on the rope. Similarly, when I forget my nature, avaranam happens, vikshepam of I am the body, I am the mind, all those happen. So that is the sin. The main sin is that of ajnanam. Ajnanam makes a person like causes avaranam and vikshepam. Vikshepam means I think I am the body, therefore kamam starts, desire starts. Desire has to be fulfilled through action, therefore that gets converted into karma. So avidya kama karma, that is samsara. The main papam is not karma or kamam, but it is avidya. Remove avidya, kamam and karmam will automatically fall off. Removal of avidya can be done only through knowledge. If a person can think that, okay, why not remove avidya through more and more action? But avidya creates, out of avidya is born kamam, out of kamam is born karmam. So karmam is an offspring of avidya. That which is an offspring of avidya cannot remove avidya. It is as good as telling that, okay, I came from my grandfather, let me try to remove my grandfather. I can't do it. So with karmam you cannot remove avidya, because karmam is itself out of avidya. It will only add on to avidya. So avidya can be removed only through vidya or knowledge. Often like knowledge and ignorance are compared to light and darkness. So here the darkness of sin means the real sin of avidya is removed by arka parampara. Arka parampara means real knowledge. That means knowledge, the sun of knowledge. So the Guru Padukas, when a person surrenders to the Guru Padukas, then the Guru becomes compassionate and he imparts knowledge. the son of knowledge. That son of knowledge removes all papam. So a person who has surrendered to the Guru Paduka, has total surrender to the Guru Paduka, such a person doesn't have any sin at all. He doesn't have any sin, neither does he accumulate sin in the future. But total surrender is not something that's possible in today's life. Like, there are very few people who totally surrender. If Amma gives many examples of people who have total surrender, and that total surrender by itself, if total surrender is there, the Guru will impart, directly give realization. But we don't find such people. Amma gives like examples, like stories to illustrate total surrender, and that it would give liberation. So once a guru was like guru, a shishya was staying with the guru in his gurukulam, and the guru was like looking out for the shishya. The shishya was in the bathroom having bath. The guru called out the shishya. The shishya heard it and immediately came out. So the shishya came out when he was having bath. He didn't even bother to wear any clothes because the guru had called. He came out naked. Immediately he was granted realization. So that should be the state. The state of the shishya, that is true surrender. When somebody says, the guru says something, there is no scope for thinking. There is no scope for argument. If we argue any word of the guru, then there is no real surrender. So in such a case, we won't be imparted realization. So it will take time until then. But a person who has surrendered to the Guru Paduka, then the Guru Paduka is like the sun that will dispel darkness. And the next comparison is Tapatraya Hindra Kageshwara Abhyam. It is Kaga Ishwara. Kageshwara means eagle, like lord of birds, we can say. So eagle, we know that eagle like kills serpents or snakes. So it is like Kageshwara, Hindra, Indra. I think Indra, the word Indra means like has one meaning, that snake. So Kageshwaram for snake. So the Guru Paduka is like eagle for snake. Snake of what? So the Kageshwara is the Guru Paduka. So the Guru Paduka is like eagle for snake of Tapatrayam, the threefold suffering that we have. So a person has suffering in this world. For the suffering, the snake of suffering, the Guru Paduka is like eagle. That means if a person surrenders to the Guru Paduka, then all sorrow is completely removed. Though sin, like earlier it was explained, sin. Here it's a different way of telling. The Tapatrayam, we always try to get rid of all sorrows. Sorrows in the world can be split into three, can be categorized as three. Adi, like we, first is like Adhyatmam, it's called Adhyatmam, Adi Devikam, Adi Bhautikam. So you can say Adhyatmam, Adi Bhautikam, Adi Devikam, or Adi Devikam also some people say. So Adhyatmam is, Atma means oneself, so to do with oneself. So Adhyatmam means to do with oneself or as an individual. So that itself we can split it into bodily pain as well as mental pain. So the bodily pain would be the Shad Urmi or Janma Stitva Vriddhi Parinama Apakshaya Nasham. So birth, growth, decay, disease, and all those things, all these six. And then at the mental level, it would be the Kama Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsaryam. Those are like basic things, so you should be knowing Kama Krodha. You know that, right? All those six. Okay, so those six. So that is Adhyatmam. It is to do with oneself. The sorrow that is caused out of oneself, out of one's own body, out of one's own mind. Then there is the problem with Adi Bhautikam. So again, like here, this has two interpretations. So Adi Bhautikam, one way of interpretation is Bhautikam. Bhutas means Panchabhutas. That means natural calamities caused by the panchabhutas. So the sorrow caused out of natural calamities. Natural calamities means these are calamities to do with the panchabhutas, with fire, with water. So water, with air you can have tornadoes, with fire you can have like what can you say, burning of houses and all, and with water we can have tsunami. So all those things, so that is adibhautikam. And then adidevikam or adidevikam is things which are devikam. Devikam means which cannot be explained, which are not due to any particular bhutas, panchabhutas, but which are kind of natural calamities like thunder or lightning. There's yet another interpretation which is a better way of saying that people say that adhyatmam is to do with oneself, adibhautikam is to do with other people, the people around you. So we can have problem with my own body and I can have problem with somebody else. So I can have problem with you that you are disturbing me a lot. So that is the adidevikam problem. Sorry, adibhautikam problem. Problem with others. And then there are problem with adidevam means like natural calamities which cannot be explained as such. Or sudden things like which happened, which we cannot blame ourselves or other people, but it is sorrow caused out of nothing. Like we can call it fate. So there are three types of tapam. So it's called tapatrayam. Trayam means the tapam means sorrow. Sorrow caused the threefold sorrow, threefold suffering. So it is for this threefold suffering that we say, we use like shanti, shanti, shanti. So three shanti is for peace from adidevam. Adhyatmam, adibhautikam and adidevam. These three types of tapatrayam. So tap, for these three tapam, for these three sorrows or sufferings, like the snake of these sufferings, the Guru Padukas are the eagle which killed the snake. And then the last analogy that is used is Jadyabdi Samshoshana Bhadavabhyam. Jadyabdi. Jadyam means like kind of, Jadyam means ignorance. Abdi means ocean. So for the ocean of ignorance, Samshoshanam means drying up the ocean. That means completely removing Ajnanam. The first interpretation was that for the sin, for sins which is starting from avidya, for the darkness of avidya, it is the sun of knowledge. For the ocean of ignorance, it is the Bhadavagni. It is the fire which is termed as Bhadavagni. There is a fire called Bhadavagni which is very rare. We know about like water extinguishing fire. But there is a type of fire called Bhadavagni which dries up the ocean. You wouldn't have heard about it, right? Yeah. So, it means like it is the Bhadavagni, it is that fire which dries up the ocean of ignorance. So, like it means like the ocean cannot be dried, but the fire, it is like the Guru Padukas are like the Bhadavagni, that fire which dries up the ocean. I think this explanation, if you go to our blog site, vedantatattva.blogspot.com, like you can, if you go through the Mayavada Darpanam thread, there you can find the initial shloka. I think I have the Mangala shloka refers to Bhadavagni. You can go through that at a later point of time, but the very first posting of that, the very first posting of like Mayavada Darpanam, very first or the second posting, that has an explanation of Bhadavagni as well. But in short, like The Guru Paduka. The Guru Paduka is Guru Paduka is first. Guru Padukas are like the sun. The sun, the group of sun, not just sun, the group of sun, which dispels sin, the sin, the darkness of sin. And then it is like the eagle, which removes, which kills the snake of Tapatrayam. So the Tapatrayam, again, if you want an explanation, the three types of Tapam. The three types of Tapam is Adhyatmam, Adibhautikam and Adidevam. So Adhyatmam is with oneself, Adibhautikam with others, Adidevikam is with natural calamity. So these three types, that's why we use Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So may there be peace from Adhyatma Tapam, Adibhautika Tapam and Adidevika Tapam. So, and then it is the Guru Padukas are the Badavagni, which rise up the ocean of ignorance.